when you first reached out to me and I was like, yes, I want to do this, I shuffled my feet for a while, because in Hollywood, there is this standard. I'm now entering my late 30s, where now all my roles will be mom. That's all I get is mom. That's all Hollywood sees of me. And there was this fear of mine that if I came onto this podcast and spoke my truth as myself, Elizabeth Ho, that there would be some weird sort of blacklisting. And I realized how important it is for us to, for me personally, to show up for myself and speak about my experience to hopefully show that, like, I'm a normal human being living a wonderful life, and that this fear, it is perpetuated by a society of wanting us to fit in and be a part of whatever this idea of what a woman should look like. And I'm really impressed by Gen Z about them just being like, I am my full self. And I really admire that about them. And I hope women of all ages get to a place where we can just be our full true selves.
Hey lovelies, welcome back to We Are Child Free, a podcast that celebrates child-free lives and shares our stories. Today's guest is Elizabeth Ho, an actor who you might have seen on the Netflix stoner sitcom Disjointed, featuring an up-and-coming star called Kathy Bates. Ever heard of her? She's also a postpartum doula, which has given her a close-up view of motherhood and the mom role that Hollywood may soon expect her to play. Elizabeth knows bone deep that she doesn't want kids, and she's happy being the weird other part of the family, the most authentic expression of herself. For context, we spoke just after the Texas abortion ban and before the attempted recall of California's Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom. We get into the war on women happening worldwide, which has long restricted the bodily autonomy of people of color and disabled folks, and now is coming for the rest of us. I learned a lot from Liz and left our conversation feeling super fired up and inspired, so I hope you do too.
I was trying to think this morning on my walk how I found We Are Child Free, and I couldn't remember, but I did remember feeling very passionate. I was like, I have to write this to Zoe because, or this community, because I just knew that they would, you guys would understand, ladies, whatever,
yeah,
human beings would understand. And it was, well, we kind of had to back up a little. So I am child free by choice, and it took me a long time to get here, and I'm sure we'll delve deeper into that. But I ended up writing you because I was visiting with a friend who I'm the godmother to three of their children. And I do postpartum work. I do postpartum doula work as well. And I was showing my friend a picture of a friend's baby who I was, you know, we were talking about maybe working together. And my friend said, oh, that baby's so cute. Are you sure you don't want to have a baby yourself? Because I just want to hold it. It would be so cute. And I just remember, and she knows my choice to be child-free and that it's taken me a while to get here. And I just remember staring at her and being like, well, there's no doubt my baby would be very cute. And then I took her hands and I put them on my ovaries and I said, this is as close as you're getting to holding my babies. And we kind of just stared at each other. And she realized, she was, you know, oh, well, you know, you still have time or whatever. And the bullshitty things people say to women who choose to be child-free. And I just like, yeah, you know, and it was uncomfortable, but she got the point, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was also hurtful because this is a family I'm very close to. And to have that rhetoric, I think it's just societal too. It's so, mothers love their children. They're fantastic little beings. Why wouldn't you want to share that? And it's hard to be with someone who doesn't want to share that experience.
Yes. I've had my sister and we're twins. She said exactly the same when I went and saw, you know, her new baby boy and I'm playing with him. Well, I was the first time I was holding him and, you know, and she's like, oh, you're so good with him. And, you know, you sure you don't want any? I'm like, yes. And then she said it again. The next time I went over to the UK,
And I could, you know, play with them more. And she's like, are you really sure you don't want them? I'm like, please, please stop asking me. But I really, really am sure. But you're right. It's kind of, it's just so ingrained in our society that, you know, this is what women do. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like they obviously have this amazing connection and bond and love with their child. And, you know, they want you to experience that. And I think, yeah, it's very hard to try and make people understand that that's not enough, that it doesn't, I don't feel like I'm missing anything in my life without that, because I have connections, love, bonds with other beings in my world. And I'm very, very content and happy with that. But yeah, it's tricky. It's a tricky thing to navigate. You know, yeah, I mean, your friend, so she stopped asking you?
Well, so far, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. That visit, it got uncomfortable for a second because I spoke my truth, and I think she realized that she kind of stepped into something that was uncomfortable to talk about, which is, you know, women's right to choose, or people who can have children's right to choose whether or not they want to have children. And I love my godchildren, and she knows that, and I've been there for a lot of ups and downs. And I think once that happened, she had to take a step back and be like, you know, she had to listen to me, which is uncomfortable when we're used to the societal rhetoric of, if a woman says, I don't know if I want to have kids, and another woman or man says, well, maybe you'll change your mind. And then the child-free person, we're used to swallowing that, you know, swallowing our want, our choice, our decision, and being like, yeah, you know, and we politely chuff it off and continue the small talk. And as I get more comfortable in my fully integrated self, I realize that sometimes you have to be uncomfortable and stand in your truth, because if these people really do love you, they'll cherish whatever decision you make, as long as you're not hurting yourself or others, right? And so I think it was sitting in that uncomfortableness, which I hate, and I know she didn't like either, but we had to just let it settle and then move on.
So then you said that it took you a while to come to this decision. You know, could you tell me, can you remember was it a moment that you realized that you didn't want children, or was it a slow process?
Yeah, sure. So I think it is important to recognize I am Asian American. I'm Chinese American. I'm third or fourth generation looking down my lineage. And I say that because I feel like with a lot of first generation, second generation immigrant parents and children in America, there is this very big push to follow this life, which is go to get good grades, go to college, have a family, have children, repeat and rinse. And I feel very lucky that I was a little further from that kind of mentality of establishing community in a new country. I grew up playing with baby dolls. I have a little sister, and I wanted to be like my mom. She was the best example I could have of what it looks like to be a woman. She worked outside of the house. She was strong and beautiful and funny and charismatic and a great mother. But as I got older, I started to really question. I felt like I was trying to brainwash myself into wanting kids. So what I started to do was I started to babysit a lot, and then I started to be around people with kids all the time. And because it was almost like trying to prove to myself, like, if you do this enough, you'll like it. If you're around kids enough, you'll like it. And not just like the fun ice cream visit or the let's go out and hang out, you know, and see a movie visit. I mean, in the weeds kind of stuff, which is baby sick. You're over there helping, you're cooking, cleaning, you know, mom and dad aren't home, they're gone for whatever reason, and you are the adult in charge. And I felt like I continued to put myself in those positions subconsciously to try to convince myself that this is the life I wanted. And every time, Zoe, I would wash my hands of the family and be like, man, I am so glad that is not my reality.
I could imagine. I mean, I think it's great advice. I remember, you know, we were talking about the amazing Marsha Drutt Davis and her advice. Absolutely.
That journal advice. Absolutely.
Exactly. Get a journal, write down, you know, pro and con it, and look after children if you can to really get a reality of what this is like. So I think that's a great way for you to see exactly what it entails. It looks bloody hard, doesn't it?
It is so hard. And that's the thing. I have so much admiration for parents and people who choose to raise children and want to have, it's a full-time job. It's thankless full-time job that goes on for your life. It's 24/7. There are no breaks. And I personally don't want to do it. And the people who want to do that, I can only be there and support them. And that's kind of where I ended up coming closer to doing more postpartum doula work, which was supporting mothers in community when they go through this time. I really found a lot of hope and love for that. But I also face this thing of when other postpartum doulas meet me, they're like, you don't have kids? And I'm like, no, I don't. Mm. For me, it's about supporting other women and family units. I think in Western society specifically, I don't know about you, but my family is spread out very, very far. And so, for instance, if my sister were to have a child, I wouldn't be able to easily go to her house and take care of her every single day during that postpartum period. And further on, what a postpartum doula does is you pay for that community, basically. You pay for someone to come in and help mother and support the woman and baby, but mainly the woman as she transitions through this really big phase of life. And it really made me take another look at, like, and what I think your podcast does so beautifully, of how, what does it mean that the idea of mother as a verb, to mother, can be with or without giving birth of children through your own body or adopting, you know, that I can support other women and children without actually reproducing one myself.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, I mean, you spoke about that it takes a village almost for us to look after children. And, you know, right, you're right, how now women don't have this support network necessarily around them. Like in modern times, now we are moving further away from our families. I see this a lot with my friends as well, that their families aren't with them. They have children and they're alone. And then, you know, my female friends are the ones who are trying to balance having a career and having a child and doing most of the childcare. And it's almost, yeah, it's like the way it works now, it just doesn't fit with our lives. And, you know, we're kind of sold this idea that we can have it all. But I don't know, when I look at what we're meant to be having, I'm just thinking, I think we're being conned a little bit, you know, we're being told we can have it all, but it looks bloody stressful for women.
Absolutely. I mean, you have in your life many women friends who do it all. You know, they have the job, they take care of the kids, they're there for pickup after school, they take care of them, they make all the meals, they schedule all the house cleaning or do the house cleaning. I was sitting back and thinking, like, why is that so uneven in the gender gap? And I really do think it comes back to when women give birth and they're breastfeeding if they can or want to. Men can't help. And so all that time being up with the baby kind of falls to women, because men honestly can't produce milk, right? If you choose to not do formula. And so I feel like there is this role patterning that happens really early on with mother and child, where the father can come in and help, but the workload falls to the mother. And I do think that then it's perpetuated by society. But I agree, the workload is uneven. I think governments don't support families, at least in the United States. We say we do, but we absolutely don't. I was reading something today about how expensive childcare is, just daycare, preschool, nannies. And that even if someone were to, a woman were to go and have a minimum wage job in the United States, let's say $15, $16 an hour, it would barely cover childcare for the time that they were gone from their child. And it's wild to me that, you know, women get this pressure of wanting to have kids, but we as a society don't support that.
Yeah.
And I do, I really resonated with you saying we were sold, you know, we were sold a lie.
Yeah.
In many regards, because I think I then hear other people say like, well, you had to have one. But I look at the evidence of it. And for me personally, it just doesn't seem like something that I want to participate in or perpetuate. Do I want to support the community around me? Absolutely. That is something that brings me great joy. But is this the reality I want for myself? Nope.
Yeah. And there should be nothing wrong with that. And I think once people can kind of open their eyes and see that, I mean, we all don't have to have children. And it's kind of a weird idea to say that every woman should have a child. It just doesn't make sense when we think about how different we all are. We're all good and bad at different things. It's like, why do we just all assume we're women are the same person and we want the same things? And I mean, yeah, if I remove my viewpoint of how women are treated or how mothers are treated and how this inequality in the home and how their career is affected, you know, all of these things are stacked against women when they have children. So if I look at that and I go, this is bullshit. Like, no, this is ridiculous. And I wish my, you know, every woman who wants a child has that support, like you said. But when I remove that, I still go, well, I just don't have that desire either to have a child. Because I know my twin sister wanted it more than anything. And I think back to when I was thinking about, you know, do I want this? I was like, no, I've got literally zero desire. And I think people really don't understand that, do they? It's like such a foreign idea. Do you think you felt like that? I mean, obviously, I also had dolls when I was growing up, but I also was a bit more of a tomboy. But so I had boys, you know, like action figures, but I had Barbies as well. But I probably would cut all the hair off. When you were growing up, did you ever imagine your life with children?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, I think of the media I consumed. I think as a child, I think of the books I read. I think about the toys I was given.
Yeah.
It all was very much focused on, at the end of the day, being a mother or some version of femininity that included family with children. I wanted to touch back on something you said about your sister, which was you just saw that your sister really wanted a child.
Mm.
And that's what I see. That's what I want women who want to have children to have. I see that with my friends. I see that with some of my family members. The need to have children is just so bone deep. It's like sewn into their DNA and their marrow. Those are the people I want to have kids.
Yes.
I don't, and I wish that there was that respect on our side too, which is not that there are sides, we're all whatever, but.
No, but I know what you mean.
The respect of it, of, you know, bone deep, I don't feel like I want to be a mother or need to be one. My mother grew up with seven other brothers and sisters. She came up from a large family, and I grew up around a lot of cousins, and they all, except for, I think there are four of us who haven't had kids, of a cohort of like 15, 20 first cousins.
Wow.
It's been really interesting though, right? Because it seems like the more women move further away from home and get higher education, or honestly, just listen to their own selves, do the self-care work that they deserve, that people are finding out that having children isn't something that is meant for them in their lifespan.
Yeah, it does feel like maybe this generation, we are kind of realizing that we have a choice. And I mean, when I spoke to my mom about, you know, her feelings about having kids, because she was a career woman and a breadwinner, and I was really intrigued by whether she actually wanted kids or whether this was just like what she did, what you did back then. And she has said she thought maybe she wouldn't have if she lived in this time. She probably wouldn't, because you just don't even question it back then, you know. And same as your mother. I mean, I'm not sure if you had any conversation about, you know, her feelings about her being a mother or you being, you know, child free. But it's always interesting to hear from women from, you know, previous generations. What was going through their heads? You know, this was it something that, they could actually choose, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think about how a woman's worth, even in the 1950s, was very much you stayed at home and you raised kids. Mm-hmm. And your neighbors, the women around you, raise kids, and that was your social group. And, you know, then your kids had grandbabies, and now you had, you know, it just keeps going. And I think about what happened in the 70s and 80s with the sexual revolution and women entering the workforce more. But we were also still tasked with upholding this idea of societal motherhood and having it all, you know. Mm-hmm. I know my mom has expressed that having kids wasn't as promising or like fruitful as she thought it was going to be.
Right.
I don't think she would have had kids if she had that option for herself. A lot of her self-worth was, I believe, tied up in the American dream of settling down, having a husband, kids, the white picket fence. And now that she's older, and she's definitely, my parents are divorced, she's definitely living her best life right now. You know,
good.
And that's what she deserves. She was a Broadway dancer, an actress, and it does make me curious. If she would have continued that path and that kind of career choice had she not decided to settle down and have kids. You know, we'll never know. But I do think it was around in the 70s. But she grew up in the 50s and was second gen. So I feel like it was a tough act to balance for her. And so I have a lot of empathy for that.
Mm. Absolutely. How has she taken then to you saying that you don't want children? Does she support you or not?
she likes to do things like, I had a dream you had kids.
Oh, no.
And I'll be like, well, that's, I'm glad you dreamt about it. You know, so it's an ongoing conversation. Same thing with my father. He does the, you won't know love. And I just reply, I guess I won't.
Okay. Yeah.
But again, I had to have empathy. They're in their, you know, 70s, yes. late 70s. That's just the time period they grew up in. And I'm not going to change that. And you're going to continue seeing me live my life in my full truth and see that I am happy and that I can have a productive life and a fulfilling family without children in it. But with, you know, surrounding myself with community and other people's children.
Absolutely. And I feel like half the battle is just showing people that we can be happy, fulfilled, live a wonderful life without children. I think people have this idea in their head that we're going to be lonely, sad, you know, depressed, we're going to regret it. So it's almost like they are trying to help us by them saying, you know, you should do it, you have to do it, it's what you got to do. And they think they're helping us. Some people are just horrible, but but you know the people who obviously that they love you and they think that's how you're going to be happy. And it's trying to make people see that no, we actually are happy this way, we don't need to change.
It's respecting our autonomy and are saying like, I respect you and your decision making. I love you and I think that this is your life to live and that you deserve to live it the way you want to. And I think that is respect. Mm-hmm. That is love. And it's something that I'm very grateful to have with my chosen family, you know?
So tell me a little bit about your trolls in Valmony.
Oh, they're fantastic. Yeah. I live in Los Angeles. I'm an actor. Before I launch into this, I did want to say I had a lot of, when you first reached out to me and I was like, yes, I want to do this. I shuffled my feet for a while.
Yeah.
Because in Hollywood, there is the standard. I'm now entering my late 30s, where now all my roles will be mom. That's all right. I get is mom. That's all Hollywood sees of me. And there was this fear of mine that if I came onto this podcast and spoke my truth as myself, Elizabeth Ho, that there would be some weird sort of blacklisting. And I realized how important it is for us to, for me personally, to show up for myself and speak about my experience to hopefully show that, like, I'm a normal human being living a wonderful life with this chosen family that I'll speak about in a second. and that this fear, it is perpetuated by a society of wanting us to fit in and be a part of whatever this idea of what a woman should look like. And I'm really impressed by Gen Z about them just being like, I am my full self.
Yeah.
And I really admire that about them. And I hope women of all ages get to a place where we can just be our full true selves. And also, I know plenty of moms, to circle back. You said, like, if you don't have kids, you'll have regret and depression. I know plenty of parents who have depression, anxiety, and regret and still have kids. That's all personal work. A child will not change that, you know?
Right. There's no guarantees.
Absolutely not. My chosen family is wonderful. It's made up of a lot of creatives, a lot of people who support each other in ways that I wish I had when I was little. I was a very shy kid. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was really scared. I think some of it comes from, ADD and not being diagnosed with that properly as a young kid. And also just being, I was more introverted. My chosen family loves that about me. They're okay with me, you know, saying I'll make plans because I'm in a more extroverted mood and then canceling because I don't feel okay that day, and respecting that. My chosen family includes my goddaughter, Ashika, who is 18 months. I've been a big part of her life because of COVID. I ended up nannying for the family during COVID because she couldn't have anyone from the outside come in for fear of both her parents, one of whom works in the medical field, and one of whom works in education, getting baby and parents sick. And that has been just an absolute delight in getting to be a part of, an honor to be a part of that family, and to them respecting me as an auntie and a godmother. It's just been like what I want for all. Like, if this is what you want as a child-free person and you still want to participate in helping children grow and supporting that kind of community, that's all I wish for that. Like, it is the absolute best. Plus, I get to walk away. That's my favorite part, is walking away and taking a nap.
Yeah.
Parents don't get that.
They do not. It's a full-time gig.
It is. And it's fantastic. And again, so much respect for that, but I love my naps too much, Zoe.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I love the positives of having a child-free life. I know you've got some puppers as well, a couple of dogs as well.
I've got two adorable Shih Tzus, the loves of my life.
They're just so amazing.
Cutest.
Yes.
But I also recognize, like, they're dogs, you know. I'm not going to call them my fur children or my, you know, if that is your journey and your truth, more power to you.
I mean, yes. Yeah. I say to my sister, you know, I can't leave her baby in the home and go for 3 hours on a bike ride, you know?
They'll call child services on
they
you, girl.
They would. Yeah, thankfully that would happen. So I'm like, no, I absolutely see the difference. But do I love my dog? You know, I love my dog more than anything, and I'm sure you love yours so much. And yeah, it's like having you know, being able to go on long dog walks or just going out whenever you want. There's that flexibility that you have, which is lovely.
Being a human being is complicated and tiring. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I think about how even if someone was like, you lollygag all day, I'd be like, yeah, I do. And it's right? great. And it's my choice, right?
Yes.
I think it comes back to my body, my choice. It's the respect of me as a human being and then being an autonomous person in this world. I just feel like women just get the short stick of it so much by society.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know, we are, if we're not having children, we're told we should be having an amazing career. We should be, you know, we should be jet setting around the place. We should be doing, it's like if we don't have children, then what's the point of us is almost the idea put on child-free people. And I don't understand this. It's like we should just be okay just living, just getting up, you know, living our lives however we want to live them. If we pay our taxes, what the hell does it matter to anyone else what I do with my time, my life? You know, if I'm a decent human being, if I feel happy with my life, whatever that is, whatever that looks like, just like my friends and family who have kids, I hope they are truly, truly happy. And I want people to see that it's okay for us to do whatever we want with our life. You know, do you feel that pressure as well? Like if you don't have kids, you've got to be, you know, something amazing and doing
incredible
things.
Absolutely. We have to be rich. We must just have so much money.
Yeah.
We must have like immaculate houses. I remember my dad once telling me, because it was probably around like 6 years ago, and I was really starting to realize that I truly did not want children, because there was a lot of conversation about freezing eggs. Should I freeze my eggs? Should I do it? Right. Should I give myself more time? And I remember my dad saying, you know, there's a doctor couple who he knows, and they don't have kids, and they have just an immaculate house, but it's very cold. And I said, that sounds great. Like, I remember telling him, I was like, wait, tell me more about this house. Where is
yes.
it? What does it
oh
look like? Like, what do you mean? So they have a house cleaver? Like, that sounds amazing. And
right?
it just backfired on him. He's like, no.
Dumb.
No, I meant it's not filled with laughter and joy. And I was like, no, that sounds like they just, I know. I was like, so they just like leave it? And it's like clean? And he's like, yeah. Like,
oh my God.
That sounds great. Like, sign me
yes.
up.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes, please. Yes, please. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we can do whatever we want with our time. We don't have to, yeah, we shouldn't have any pressure. No one should have pressure on them to be filling their time with, you know, whatever society dictates to us. You know, live your life however you want. It's just such a shame that we as child-free women especially are deemed as maybe we don't have value in this society. And, you know, I see the complete opposite. You know, if you want to do things with helping others and, you know, helping your community, whatever it is. I mean, I see this time and time again with child-free people. It's like they have the bandwidth to just do, you know, other things that maybe parents might not have the bandwidth for. And of course, they're focusing on their children or child. That makes sense. They should be, you know? So let us like fill the gaps. We can fill the gaps and help.
We can fill the gaps, but also like don't take advantage of us. I know that there are some times where people are like, well, you don't have kids, so you can stay longer, right? And I'm like, no, that's not how you treat a human being. Sorry. You know, there is that thing of like we are, because we don't have kids, we then can work longer hours or for less pay or, you know, don't mm-hmm. have to worry about medical illnesses, chronic fatigue, all that sort of stuff. No, we're living the same kind of life as everyone else's. And there is the double standard of single guys who are, you know, that weird uncle who didn't have kids. Mm-hmm. He's just a weird uncle and we mm-hmm. all hang out with him. But no one is like, hey, Uncle Al, like, when are you having kids?
No.
You know? No
exactly.
one ever says that. No one says like, oh, well, he must have a fantastic career or he must live in absolute wealth. Mm-hmm. No, they're known as bachelors, right? They're like, they do whatever they want, and they're just that weird other part of the family. I love being the weird other part of the family.
Right. I love it as well.
Honestly, just like the most authentic expression of me.
I love that. Yeah. I couldn't agree more with you, Liz. Like, I really think we need to embrace our weirdness and our uniqueness. And, you know, what makes us all different is actually the best thing about humanity, you know? And it's like, and we need to really break this idea of women are just this one thing. And even when you have kids as well, it's like, now this person is a mother. That's it. They can't be anything else. They can't do anything
else. That loss of identity wild, Zoe.
Right.
It is.
Yeah, you must see this. You must see this a lot, obviously, in your work. So tell me a little bit about that.
You know, there is this Instagram, social media, blogger, mommy, perfect life, perfect parenting life that is, it's unattainable for mothers to reach. And there is, when at least in my experience and being witness to women going from being pregnant to having children, there is this a period of grief, right, where you've lost your old identity. It's completely shifted from the bedrock up, and now you're floating into this new identity. What does it mean? Why, you know, what the societal expectations of what it means to be a mother are just suddenly thrust upon you. You must breastfeed. You shouldn't breastfeed. You must work out. You shouldn't work out. You must do early education. You shouldn't do early education. And everyone has an opinion on how to parent. And when all those things happen, I notice that there is very much for women a loss of who they are as an individual. Because all of a sudden, you have to take care of this other child and maintain a household or whatever. Part of the postpartum work is giving women space to grieve, giving women space to like fill out who they are now, you know, to hold all the things of being a woman, being a mother, being a daughter, a wife, a partner, all those things. And I, you know, it is heartbreaking sometimes to see that women are just all of a sudden give birth and now thrust into this new job with very little training if it's their first birth, and just having to accept this whole new identity thrust upon them. It's something that makes me very grateful to do the work I do and to bear witness and to hold that space for women. I think it's really important.
Absolutely. I mean, I see this again and again with my friends and, you know, my sister as well. And I'm kind of there as an outsider, almost looking in, because I don't have my own children. So I'm able to really, really compare my situation with my sisters, especially. And I'm always saying, like, okay, have you had time for yourself? Have you went for a walk today? Have you really try and encourage her as much as possible to, you know, keep doing the hobby that you love? But it's so difficult. It's so difficult because physically there's only so much we can do in the time that we've got. And for women especially, society just, they tell us we're caregivers. We're meant to look after everyone else except ourselves. And I feel like child-free people especially, because it's almost like we're choosing ourselves. We are saying, this is what I want, and I'm going to, you know, decide for my life, this is the right thing for my life. And we're told we're selfish, and we're, you know, and it goes against what society tells women. And I want every woman to see that they have worth, whether they have kids or not, and that they have value, whatever they're doing in life. But time and time and again, I see it with my friends who have kids. It's like now their value is attached to their child, and trying to make them remember who they were before that child, it's hard because it's physically and emotionally, mentally exhausting and draining. And I see that. I wish there was more support for mothers especially. But it is, it's just a really, really hard thing to try and do. It's a balancing act, I'm guessing. And who wins? Your child kind of wins, don't they? It's
like, and they should. They didn't sign up for this when they were born.
Right.
The societal contract, like when you give, when you decide to have a kid, you say, yes, I'm going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. The child doesn't go like, wait, what did I sign up for? They had no part in this.
Right.
You know? They're just showing up for the show. I wanted to circle back to that word selfish.
Yeah.
I've heard you talk about it in other episodes. I hope more women are selfish. Yeah. To me, selfish means self-care. And whether it's selfish to want to have children, selfish to not want to have children, I hope more women become selfish for themselves, because we deserve to have the right to choose what we want to do with our lives, you know?
I love that. I mean, absolutely reclaiming the word selfish, and not letting other people tell us that this is a negative thing, because how can it be negative to do what's right for your life ever? Because it's not only your life, it's you're thinking of the life of a child. And ultimately, no one who doesn't want children should be pressured into having them. I mean, and we see this, obviously this has been it's been an emotional few weeks with the Texas anti-abortion. Yes. Yeah. And seeing what's going on in the world and how we're trying to force women to have children that they don't want, even in cases of rape or incest. I mean, it doesn't, those things are, you know, horrendous, but the if a woman doesn't want a baby, that is enough. It doesn't matter really what other circumstances are going on around them. If they don't want that child, they should absolutely be given bodily autonomy to do that. And we are just rolling back these rights. I mean, yeah, how has it been, obviously, in America? For us outside, it's been shocking to see, you know, to see what's going on in Texas.
I feel embarrassed. I feel ashamed. It is right now, California, where I live, is going through a governor recall potentially, which could potentially make us closer to a more conservative state, which is very scary to think about. It's hard. It reminds me of when Trump was elected. My best friend, her name's Elizabeth as well. We weren't watching the election together, but she drove over to my house and we just held each other crying because we knew that this was the start to what could potentially and ended up being a very tough time for women. I think about also, I saw this TikTok of a woman talking about how, let's say she is pregnant and has children of her own, but the pregnancy is inviable and it's, you know, 8 weeks. She would still have to keep the dead baby in her body and carry it to full term, even if it meant it could cause harm and potentially kill the mother because of that law.
It's ridiculous.
It's wild. It is
it's
absolutely
ridiculous.
Wild. It is wild that a rapist would have more rights than a victim. And that's a war on women. That's not a war on life. It's a war on women. And it's very, very frightening. And it makes me very scared for, I have three goddaughters. It makes me very scared for their future. It makes me also, it makes me very sad that this is the reality that they're growing up in.
I mean, it is terrifying, and we think we live in progressive countries, and you know, but I mean, we don't really. Women everywhere are treated, I would say, like second class citizens. I mean, here in Germany, where in Berlin, it's apparently relatively progressive, but yeah, in Germany, we can't even advertise abortions on doctors' websites. So we are still meant to be ashamed for having abortions. And now we're being told that we have no choice in the matter. We're going to be forced to have children. And yeah, it's scary. I mean, I want to say it's getting better, but then you see how things so quickly can change. And that's why all of us are kind of following the news and watching what's going on, going like, it doesn't take much, does it, for our rights to just be gone. What's next? We can't vote. Like, what's happening here? Are we going to be in Handmaid's Tale eventually? Is that the future for us?
I mean, and then I think about Black and Brown people of the United States. This has been the actual reality for them since the country was started.
Yeah,
you know, their right to choose, the right. The autonomy of their bodies, the medical industry being against them, the government suppressing them. That is their actual reality, and disabled folks too, you know. Yeah. It's where I recognize that as a light-skinned person of color, I am very privileged to now be feeling the pressure of it. And I realize how blind I was, and how much I capitulated to the racism and the putting down of other cultures just because I didn't know and I wasn't taught. But that's, ignorance isn't a reason, you know. I have the internet and we're all learning and we have to do better.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the stats we have a privilege right now to be able to choose that if I don't want children. But now women in Texas don't have this privilege. Women around the world don't have this privilege. 55% of women around the world don't own their own bodies. You know, a UN survey came out, and so it's, this project is sharing as many of our stories as possible to hopefully show the rest of the world that we're not just fighting for the white women, we're fighting for every woman, because Black women, people of color, they are the ones who have it a million times worse than us. Absolutely. When you look at the stats of, you know, Black women have dying during childbirth, and, you know, how they're treated when they have children in hospitals, and they get less pain medication. Oh, you go on and on and on. It's just heartbreaking. I'm sure you've seen and experienced a lot of that yourself with your work.
You know, I haven't had any, now that I'm reflecting back, I haven't had any Black women as clients. And part of that is because I refer them to Black home healers. I just feel like I don't have the capacity and the education to speak to that experience, history, and culture. Not to say I turn them away, but I also recommend, there's a wonderful woman on Instagram named Black Birth Healer who does incredible work. But truly, Zoe, this We Are Child Free project just illustrates to me how important it is for women to speak their truths about what we really want, and speak them out loud, to not just say them behind closed doors or around friends, to set an example for others that how we decide to live our lives, as long as we're not hurting ourselves or others, obviously, mm-hmm. is important to model and to show to other people that it is a healthy, happy lifestyle. And our realities matter, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So then when did you realize it was a choice that you could actually choose to not have children?
After years of therapy. I remember going into my therapist, her name was Amanda, and I remember being like, I just need to solve this, that, and the other, and her being like, okay. I was like, we should be done in like 3 months, right? And skip to like 5 years later. You know, therapy is the best investment I could have made for myself.
Yeah.
Talk about being selfish. And thank God I get that space to be truly selfish for an hour every week. What a luxury. And I hope that it becomes more and more of a basic human right, yes. A medical right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking about babysitting and being like, I just really hate it, but, you know, I can't wait to have kids.
Yeah.
My therapist going like, okay, so I'm just going to repeat back what you said. And I'm being like, I just contradicted myself. She's like, mm-hmm. I mean, we can hold both of these things. And realizing through therapy, untangling what I, Liz, wanted versus what society wanted, what my parents wanted, that was very, very tricky for me. It felt like a big ball of yarn that was very knotted. But the more and more I picked at it and unraveled, the more I realized I didn't want to have kids. And it was very scary to come to that realization. It made me feel like an outsider, especially being a light-skinned woman of color. You know, I already feel like an outsider. And being a woman, I already feel like an outsider. But then to even go into this more narrow subset of not wanting to have children, it was very frightening. And I did have a lot of fear of like, won't I regret? But then I, you know, I think you and I touched earlier on it about my friends with children and people I know with children, they have regrets too. And they have depression, anxiety, they have stressful days, happy days. Whether or not you have children doesn't change any of that. And I really looked to my friends who had children and deeply wanted them and realizing that I did not have that pull in me, and to accept myself, and that I felt like I was broken almost. And therapy helped me realize, like, you're not broken. Society is telling you that, and that's just a lie. You know, you are coming to your own and making decisions for yourself. And I think that's what every parent hopefully wants for their child, right? Is to grow up fully healthy, happy, and making choices for themselves that make them healthy and happy. This is one of them for me, is deciding to be child-free.
And then you've been with your partner for a long time, haven't you? So did you?
Yes.
So then did you? Obviously he is child-free as well, I'm assuming. You've been.
He is.
Oh, but did you? Yeah. How was that conversation with him? Tell me a bit about him as well.
We've been together for 17 years. His name is Ira. Married for 7. We at the start of our relationship were children. Basically, like children. And we've seen many different evolutions of each other. I've witnessed and been like, I've been so lucky to witness the different evolutions of him. And it's also been so hard. It's a new person every couple years. But that kernel of them, that goodness that I was attracted to and love, is always there. And I remember at the start of our relationship, you know, children weren't off the plate, but both of us wanted to focus on careers. And then we got married, and it had always been an open discussion. And I was more leaning towards no at the time. So was he. And then I remember, I think it was like the first or second anniversary around there, and him being like, he just came to me all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and was like, I think we should have a baby. And Zoe, I burst into tears.
Like
full tears. Because at that point, I had been working with a therapist and realizing I didn't want to have kids.
Yeah.
And he was that. I mean, my reaction was the opposite of what he thought was going to happen. He thought I would, like, I don't know, tear off my clothes and we'd just have a baby.
And, oh, poor guy.
Well, you know, that's called expectation management. So
true. Very true.
I remember telling him and sitting down and after the big burst of emotion and saying, I love you. I've always wanted whatever you want. If you really want to have kids, I don't think I'm the person who can give that to you. And if that is something you really, really want, we may have to divorce because I don't want to keep you from something that you really, really want. And I remember him really sitting down and looking at me. And I've heard this from other friends with men who just out of the blue decide they want to have kids. The reasoning, I remember him saying, look, wouldn't it be cool to have a mini me? And I just remember being like, do you know how much fucking work a child is? Because he grew up in a family of 4 boys, but he, like many men, didn't do childcare, didn't do babysitting. We have god kids, but he wasn't there for the overnight stays when parents went out of town or taking care of them whenever the whole household is sick, you know, like. He showed up for birthday parties and helped, and he showed up for Christmas time and all the fun stuff. And so that's a very edited view. And I remember saying to him, like, we really need to think about this. I'm willing to, you know, this is my gut reaction. I often, because of my childhood trauma, like punch first and think about it later.
Right.
So I was like, my knee-jerk reaction is no. Yeah. But I also want to give myself time to really digest and think about this. At the time, his brother had a child and they were having some problems and they needed childcare. Henry, our nephew, was, I think, 13 months at the time. And so I live in California. They asked us to come to New York and rent an Airbnb and watch Henry for 2 weeks. And we did. And I remember my husband, he's a writer, thinking, oh, I'm going to get so much writing done. Right. Now, if he tells a story back, his side will be like, I never said that. Whatever. Okay. But in my truth, in my version, I remember him being very excited. You know, this would be a time of getting to be in New York and writing and spend time with your nephew. Mm-hmm. A 13-month-old who's just started walking is a fucking terror, especially in an Airbnb that you don't have control over. Mm-hmm. There's no childproofing. There's a nap schedule. There's a feeding schedule. And he was very attached to his parents. He had never been without them. And so it was very hard to be away from them for 12, 14 hours out of the day. And I remember at the end of the trip, just watching my husband realize, like, it didn't truly hit him how much work a child is and how much work they deserve to have.
Yeah.
You know, to be protected, to grow up in a safe environment, to have all the options, to be well fed, to get all the education opportunities that they deserve. It's a lot of work. And I remember him being like, well, you know, maybe we can put this on the back burner. And then he started going to therapy himself. And the more conversations we have, the more and more we realize how much we love being a support to our friends and family who do have children and not having children ourselves.
It's interesting, isn't it, how different men and women can see the role of being a parent, you know, like the dads kind of, you know, rock up, they play a bit of rough and tumble and then they go out to the pub, have a few pints. And, you know, the whole idea is so different. And it's, I think, having that real experience with a child, it's an eye opener. And he obviously had one kind of picture in his head of what it would be like. And the reality was so different to that.
And here's the thing. If he wants to be a great dad, right?
Yeah.
A great father figure to other children. He is. He's an incredible mentor. He's a great teacher. He is wonderful with our nephew, Henry. He's fantastic. I just don't think men necessarily, and women, but mainly men, understand the energy and time commitment children are because they don't see it. It's not ingrained in their culture.
No, absolutely. Do you think he gets less questions about, you know?
Oh, my God, absolutely.
Right, yeah. It's like my husband as well. It's like, I don't think he's ever been asked if he wants kids. It's so interesting. My experience is so different. So yeah, tell me about the differences for you guys.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. When we're at kids' birthday parties, you know, the dads will all kind of congregate and they'll be like, oh, when are you having kids? That's, I think, the only time
he's
asked by friends and family, I think. They've stopped asking because we've been together for so long. And they're like, well, I guess it's really not happening now.
Right.
When I hang out with women with children it's mainly women with my friends with kids, it always comes up. It's always like, when are you going to have some? Or I'm sure you'll change your mind. All the things that child-free women we know them all very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it just depends on our moods, how we answer.
Right.
But he doesn't. He hangs out with friends and they just hang out. They're playing games or they're playing tennis or they're, you know, podcasting or whatever, watching movies. It never comes up, ever. Mm. Versus I feel like even the men who are fathers that he is friends with and hangs out, they talk about like, oh, would it Sally and Bobby get up to? Oh, that's cool. But it never rolls back to, so Ira, when are you going to have a Sally and Bobby?
Right. Yeah.
Never. Never, ever.
Yeah. It's so interesting, isn't it? Very, yeah, very frustrating when I'm like, no one's ever asked you anything. And then I, you know, if I go to a doctor or a gynecologist or anything, I get the third degree. And what about you? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've left gynecologists because the vibe was, I remember saying like, yeah, I'm thinking about maybe getting a hysterectomy, and then being like, and you've talked about this with other women on the podcast, them yeah. being like, well, you'll change your mind, or like, we should keep your options open. And I'm like, pretty sure I've lived in this body longer than you have.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I understand when I want. Yeah, it's
annoying.
It is so annoying. But again, like, finding this community that you've created has been so lovely to take a break from yeah. the society that, you know, is ingrained in us, and see this community of women sharing their experiences and realizing, I'm not alone, you're not alone, you're not crazy, I'm not crazy. You know, perhaps we are quote unquote selfish, but I'm glad we are. We deserve it.
We Are Child Free is hosted by me, Zoe Noble, and produced by James Glazebrook. If you liked this episode, please leave a review on your podcast app, as this really helps other people find us. Head to wearechildfree.com to read more inspiring child-free stories, find out how to share your story with me, and to be the first to know when the We Are Child Free community launches. Speak soon, lovelies.